Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, September 5th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, what a day, what a day. We have David Krieger joining us at 20 minutes after, as we go into our second break today. And a lot of good things to be talking about. We're going to be talking about gold and silver, of course, particularly gold. But until then, we got lots of things to bring to the listeners. First today, it did manage up today. We'll take what we can get. It's currently trading on the New York spot price, up $7.60 at $1,269. Excuse me. Silver up 11 cents at 19.27. You have platinum up 8 at 14.14. And palladium still hanging on 8.92, down $1. The USDX today was trading down slightly, 0.06 at 83.76. Crude oil was down a buck at 93.45. And supposedly the stock market got a boost after there was a ceasefire that's supposedly took hold in eastern Ukraine today after the president's representative signed a deal with Russian-backed separatists. And, of course, that is an attempt to bring an end to the nearly 5 months of fighting. And surely the unemployment numbers that came today didn't give much of a boost to the stock market. So they had to use something. And so the Dow was up 67 points. And at 17,137, the NASDAQ was up 20 at 4582, and the S&P closes at another record high at 2,007.70. And, of course, after the unemployment rate was dropped and the numbers came out, we saw the 10-year yield go up 2.46, no big deal. No big deal today, Al. But the August, the job growth slowed, they said, last month. The unemployment rate fell, particularly for younger and demographic groups, and fell for recent war veterans and high school graduates and dropouts. It just sounds fantastic, but the Labor Department said today that only 142,000 jobs had been added, and that was significantly below the 212,000 jobs that they were expecting. But And it's interesting because everyone really knows how the unemployment rate is created and obtained. And it was that more people either stopped working or abandoned their job search or never started it. So in calculating the unemployment rate, the government counts as unemployed only people who are actively seeking jobs. And, of course, those departures causes the rate to fall. And I saw you had some comments from Sam Zell, and he had also said that, hey, he could make the unemployment rate fall to 2% if he wanted to. And that's, of course, just by eliminating all those that aren't working. So
you also don't count the ones that starve to death.
Right.
Those also, they're not counted.
Yeah.
So the more people who die from unemployment, the lower the unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
So happy days are
happy
here.
Happy days are here again.
See people starving to death. Say, yay, yay.
But New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, he's been in Mexico on a trade mission. And someone brought this to my attention the other day, and I said, it's probably down there looking for some sort of drug trade, but I shouldn't say that. But
no, probably looking for some tortillas.
Tortillas.
I mean, it looks like he could go through a box of tortillas a day.
Well, now you have to give him some credit. He is losing weight.
Mm.
Mm. But he has had help. He's had, I think he's had that stomach stapling or the bands or whatever. But he is certainly losing weight. But he's down there, and he's recruiting people down there. He met with this is his last stop. He also took his son. And in Mexico, the Puebla, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that properly, state, Governor Rafael Moreno Valle created or greeted Christie. And they were there for 3 days. He joined the Mexican governor, his cabinet members, and other local officials for breakfast. And at the breakfast, Christie said he had already invited the governor to come to New Jersey for a joint visit to the city of Passaic, P-A-S-S-A-I-C. He says, where many immigrants from Puebla live. He says he's looking forward to him coming to the U.S. and for him to return the favor. And I thought to myself, well, Christie can offer him a choice of rooms from all the shuttered casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Idea.
Yeah, New Jersey.
Good idea. And the governor, whoever he's inviting, or the president, he may just want to move in. You know, come on down. Get people here for you to. You can be the governor of the people from Mexico that are in this community up here.
Well, you know, there is. Discussions that no one knows where all these children are going, where they're being bused to throughout the country. And now you have you're going to have four casinos in Atlantic City with empty rooms. You can fill them up pretty quick.
And we can teach the Mexican kids to play gambling games rather than video games.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, what can I tell you? We give them an education, teach them how to gamble, feed them, whatever. You know, you're talking about that article from Sam Zell, who was a billionaire. And he says the stock market is at an all-time high, but economic activity is not at an all-time high. And he went on, he said, people have no place else to put their money. And the stock market is getting more than its share. It's very likely that something has to give here. That strikes me as pretty interesting. People have money, that's the implication, but they don't have a rational place where they can put it other than the stock market. In their opinion, the stock market is the most rational place where they can deposit their funds. And Mr. Zell's saying, listen, that's not reasonable at this time. Stock market is high, the economy is not. It really isn't. It's not a rational choice. And it's interesting to me that so many people, if I'm going to assume that Mr. Zell must be correct, he must have access to knowledge and numbers and whatever that's beyond.
He's an insider. Well, he's a billionaire.
He says people don't have any place to put their money. Certainly there's a place to put your money, which includes gold and silver, for example. And what he implies is that the vast majority of people don't realize there is an alternative, a rational alternative to the equities markets. And that's just surprising to me that people are put, if we can believe Mr. Zell, people are putting money into the stock market that's helping to boost the stock market because they don't know where else to put it. You know, how smart can people be? How smart can these investors be if they can't even figure out where a sensible, rational investment can be found? A lot of people get to be rich, and it's not because they are necessarily hardworking or productive. I mean, a certain amount of this is just dumb luck. They have people that get up and they get a lot of money, and that's, ooh, what are we going to do with it? Yeah. So,
what I find interesting about what he said is people have no place else to put their money. It tells me that, you know, it confirms that we're at the bubble, and because you have everybody running in there because they don't know what else to do with their money. It's at the peak.
Yeah.
It's at the top.
Yeah.
How much higher is it going to go? And people that are putting their money there, of course, when you see things run up, it's always going higher, but they're failing to look at the fundamentals underneath it. What is really making the market go up? I mean, when we saw gold at 1900, you know, we have fundamentals. We have fundamentals today, the truth, the reality. But there's nothing in the stock market.
So the idea that you can,
at these levels,
it's the idea that you can bet in the stock market based on nothing more than the technical indicators in the graphs. If it's going up, there must be a reason for it. That's the presumption. The price of the different stocks is presumed to reflect some overall knowledge. All the knowledge about the stocks is included in the price. And I don't think that's correct. I think much of the price is due to manipulation or false incentives created by government, and they don't reflect a true level of knowledge in the stocks. They represent a great deal of disinformation. And people get into it anyway. They get bought. One other point about this is we've talked about this from time to time on the program. Fundamental secret for becoming a wealthy investor is you buy low and you sell high. Just fundamental principle. It can't be any other way. You can't buy high and sell low. You can't assume that that's no formula for making a profit. The only way you're going to make a profit in investments is you buy low and you sell high. Fundamental principle. When you buy low is when virtually no one wants the particular investment. That's the ideal time to buy. If you can look at it and you can say, wait a second, this particular investment is worth a lot more. It's way underpriced. Now's the time to buy. Nobody else wants it. Jump in. The other end is if you're going to sell high, you're going to sell when everybody wants it. When everybody's buying, even though they don't know why they're buying. And that's what he's talking about to some extent when he says people have no place to put their money and the stock market is getting more than its share. People are following it and pushing it higher simply because it was going higher, and the presumption is it will go higher, and then we'll put more money into it and it'll go higher again, and it's never going to end. And of course it's going to. This is that moment when if you bought low, probably about time to sell high. That's the implication. And if you don't sell high, it's liable to go considerably lower in the foreseeable future. And everybody's worried about that. Everybody's warning. Oh, my gosh, we're going to have a serious correction. No one is telling us exactly when, but nevertheless, people are concerned that a serious correction could occur in fairly short order. And I don't think anyone who's advocating the idea that a correction is possible, serious correction, I've seen one outfit, they predict the Dow could fall to 6,000. I've seen someone else talking about a 70% correction. I don't know that those numbers are accurate, but they are not implausible. And they could happen at any time. And it's going to follow from buy low, sell high. Those of you who will continue to hang on at the high point, you are taking a risk. You are defying that fundamental principle, or you may be defying that fundamental principle. Of course, you know, from my perspective, you risk it's going to go down. From the perspective of people that are investing in equities market, they're convinced it's going to go up. We shall see. You know, different opinions. That's what it takes to make a horse race and probably a stock market also, different opinions. So we'll see who's right.
I talked yesterday about the ECB and the changes, the aggressive steps that they're taking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by they cut interest rates to the bone. And again, here we're seeing signs. I mean, how long now have we been told how great things were in Europe?
Yeah. It just cracks me up, the headline mm-hmm. from the New York Times. Europe's banks takes aggressive steps. Mm-hmm. All right? That's the headline. It's as if they've just been pussyfooting around up until now, but now it's serious, Melody. They're going to take aggressive steps, and you better watch out because they're going to do great things.
I mean, how many trillions of dollars was released that our own government gave the Eurozone back in 2009, 10?
Yeah.
What was it, 6 trillion, 15 trillion? I mean, an incredible amount of money that was given to them.
Secretly given to them.
Secretly given to them. So
out later on, but it was secretly given to them. Initially,
mm-hmm.
we have the Federal Reserve stimulating Europe. All right?
If it was
this country, stimulation has at best just kind of held us in a stagnant position. The stimulation didn't really catch on in this country. It may have prevented a further fall, but it hasn't done much to add. All right? And you would think the Federal Reserve would be interested in adding to the stimulus in this country, but no, they were interested in stimulating Europe. They thought that was important. Where are we? Let me find my mouse here where I can.
Well, the funny thing is,
Draghi is cutting the interest rates to the bone. All right, that's one thing. European Central Bank president. He's cutting interest rates to the bone, which is exactly what they've done in this country.
What they did for Japan, and look how well it served them.
Yeah, I know. Charging banks even more to park their money. I don't know that they're charging banks more or anything to park their money at the moment exactly. I don't know that they've increased the charges. And using the central bank's financial muscle to spur lending. I don't know that they can spur lending. In this country, they supposedly loaned a bunch of money to the banks that were too big to fail, and the apparent objective was that the banks would then lend the money to the great unwashed. But the banks never did. They just held the money. And the great unwashed didn't seem to mind because they didn't want to go any deeper into debt. And I'm wondering if they're going to find the same thing in Europe. It may be that they're going to use their financial muscle to spur lending, but how are you, you can lead a borrower to a bank, but you can't make him borrow. You know? But it does go on, and it says
you can make those subprime buyers buy low money.
Maybe, but you can't make them pay.
Give them zero interest rates, and those subprime borrowers will loan whatever they
maybe,
can.
Maybe, but even they are a little bit. They've perhaps learned,
but there aren't that many.
A lot of lesson. But if these schemes don't work, according to this, Mr. Draghi doesn't have many options left. And according to one source, no matter how you look at it, monetary policy has done all it can. And they're simply saying, look, we are about at the end of the rope. There's not much more that can be done in Europe. They are trying a few more things, but odds are they are going to need a miracle to deal with their problems. They're going to need a solution that borders on miracle rather than monetary intervention. It may not work.
Well, I think the citizens of Europe are getting tired of it too. I mean, I think they're getting tired of their politicians. Today there was a poll that came out. Marine Le Pen, she's the leader of France's far-right National Front. And if there was a runoff election today against Hollande, she'd beat him. She'd beat him. And this is the first time that she has ever been shown ahead of a mainstream candidate, so in the second round. So it shows that, the forces are changing. People are tired of it. These politicians, all they're getting is greedier and greedier. They have all these reputations and they look upon the people, the poor people of these countries with contempt. And, of course, I believe it was Hollande, his girlfriend came out and wrote a book and saying that, he calls the poor people, he calls them, toothless.
Toothless.
He calls them toothless. And even Sarkozy called the poor. He gave, you know, called them names.
No.
Called them a little creep.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I view the public with contempt.
They do.
And they have to some degree, to maintain the idea it's all right to exploit them because they're just cretins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not entitled to any significant respect. And it gives you a clue to what's really going on in government today and why it's all going to hit the fan. Government's not here to take care of us. They don't serve and protect us. The government serves and protects itself. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment with David Krieger. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival Programs, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Do you have a special for folks, Melody, or are you going to wait until later in the program?
We're going to go ahead. We're going to continue the Mint State 63 Saint Godin's $20 gold piece that we started running earlier this week. We do have a few of those left, not too many, but a few of those left at $1,520, which is really a steal. And, of course, we also have some Mint State 62 $20 Liberties at $1,495. So when you compare these to bullion coins, and of course with our discussions today, you'll also see what great value these coins are to have in your portfolio. We're going to eliminate some of the myths and the, you know, all the negatives that people hear about $20 gold pieces. We're going to talk why you really should have them in your portfolio today. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to the archives there on a daily and weekly basis. And Al, I'd like to, and audience, I'd like to welcome David Krieger to the program. He is a supplier that I've worked with for quite a few years. His company, Hobson NBT Inc. You can find him online. And he brings a lot of great information and different insight when it comes to gold and silver. And I know the listeners just love hearing him on the program. Welcome to the program, David.
Melody, it's great to be with you again. Thank you for having me.
Hello, David.
Hi. How you doing, Al?
Good. Good.
I was so excited about coming on your program. I turned on money before I came here.
Everyone likes that.
I like that. I like the original by what was it, ABBA?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We talked earlier in the week, and on a daily basis, I hear comments from other broadcasters, newsletter writers. Some of them just handle bullion. Some of them are just newsletter writers. Some have different agendas totally. They sell shares and so forth. And there's three common factors or three common views that I think it would be important to discuss.
Okay.
One is that dealers sell pre-33 certified coins to make extra money. They also allege that you can't sell these certified coins during times of distress, that no one will want them, that there won't be any money available, that everybody is going to be broke. Yeah. And they perform terribly. And so I think we should
take them one at a time.
Take one at a time.
You talk about certified coins. You're talking about coins that have actually been encased in plastic slabs. Plastic containers, essentially. They're not just cast into a block of plastic, but they're in a plastic container that it cannot be opened without eliminating the evidence that this is absolutely an MS-62 or an MS-63 or whatever. And their argument is that you can't sell these slabbed coins during times of distress, meaning in the midst of a Great Depression, for example. Now, to what extent? Did you want to deal with that one first, or shall we just deal with the only reason dealers deal with them is to sell, make a fast buck?
Well, I guess you're directing a question at me, and before I get into that, I'd like to also say, Al, that I have nothing against bullion. We sell bullion. We sell a fair amount of bullion and gold and silver. So I'm not here to beat up on bullion as such. I think there are very good reasons to have bullion and in the market. But I think it's important that people who maybe are not familiar with the choices in precious metals, we should start with just maybe a little background and say, you know, precious metals have different ways to look at it. You have certified coins. You have uncertified United States gold coins. You have bullion. You have silver. You have silver bars, gold bars, and so on. And it's very much like the market for iPhones is out there. You have people that just swear by iPhones. They think this is the greatest thing. In fact, I have an iPhone, and I told Melody before we started, I broke mine yesterday, the support system for iPhone's great. I'm getting one this afternoon, and I will almost guarantee you that during this program, the delivery guy is going to come and demand my signature to get the replacement in. But okay, that's a great phone. But there's also the Samsung Galaxy S4, and same people like that. It fits their needs better. The iPhone is great, maybe for business. The Samsung Galaxy S4 is better for pictures and for kids. It's very popular among younger people. iPhone is more popular around older people. You have iPads against Microsoft Surface Pro 3s. So there's a lot of choices, and I think it's very important that a dealer talk to the customer to provide really good service to them and find out, you know, what their intentions are and what are their options for a specific individual. Now,
and I just want to inject this, and that's what I talk about, David, is suitability. Mm-hmm. There are no bad coins that you can purchase. Each, for a portfolio, each has a purpose, a place, a price, and a performance.
Absolutely.
And it is. It's a suitability, and it's never recognized.
Yeah.
Well, the distinctions are hard for the average person to grasp. I wouldn't say they're hard for the average person to grasp, but they're not immediately apparent. And how much of a distinction really exists between the different kinds of precious metal investments? If you had to look at, is it only a situation where one coin is best for me, but another coin might be best for Melody? Is that the way you approach it?
Mm-hmm. Suitability. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Well, I think that it is. It's very much up to the individual, but the individual needs to be informed, and I think that's what Melody has done over the years very well. I mean, she's on a program. You discuss these things. I know many of the listeners purchase bullion. Some purchase European gold coins. Some purchase uncertified 5 libs, which I think is a great choice. Others go for certified 63s. Melody is across the board. But I know one thing is that she listens and she tries to put that person into what is good for them. And I think that's very important. And unlike dealers who seem to be, single product guys, it's very easy to sell 1 ounce gold Eagles. You can sell them all day long, but that may not be the best thing. If you're putting gold into an IRA, hey, gold Eagles are great. If you're thinking that, in the case that I'm going to need this for barter or the economic system falls apart, maybe not so good. I think I've told the story before. I mean, let's say the economy has a problem and, your ATM's down and you can't do anything, and you go down to that farmer's market and you get a couple of bags of, fruits, vegetables, and you got a load in your car, and you turn around and give them a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle and say, hey, do you have change for a 1300? That's maybe not the best choice at that time. So it is individual, and I think that's why it's very important that people, when they talk to Melody, explore with her what are the possibilities, what are they trying to do, and what's the best thing in her opinion to do that with.
Are we talking about pointing a particular coin and saying ultimately, after you talk to the customer, and you come and you conclude that this is the perfect coin for that customer, and this is the only coin that customer should be buying, or are we saying that there are a number of different coins, and you should balance your portfolio between the coins in this manner? For example, you're going to want some 1 ounce coins just to store wealth, but you may want some 10th ounce coins, or quarter ounce coins, or half ounce coins that you might be able to use in the market later on.
I think one of the important things that I would speak with Melody about, you know, as her supplier back and forth, is to assure that there is a wide variety of coins available, and that almost anything she's looking for that would be, you know, a common thing to hold in the marketplace is available and can be provided. So I'd be immediately suspicious of somebody who was telling me, hey, this is the only coin you can ever have, and this is the only thing you should ever buy. And I mean, I just don't subscribe to that, never have. I think a variety is good.
And, you know, it comes back to the objective of the buyer and their budget.
Absolutely.
You know, with what they're looking to put into the market. So, again, it's listening. And we've got questions we ask, and we listen, and we don't shove. We don't shove product on customers. We listen.
Yes. I personally think that it's kind of exciting. You've heard me before in the program talk about the fact that I really like American minted rare coins. I mean, there's stories behind them all. I keep thinking of all those coins out in San Francisco in the 1800s, and you know how they were handled or must have been handled to get to the East Coast. I mean, they're survivors. Some of the 63 saints were traded in international commerce, you know, and were really repatriated out of bank vaults in Europe, where they stood for many years. There's exciting stories in those. It's fun, and there's all kinds of books on them. I have, you know, book the 100 Greatest Coins of America, you know, the books on $20 gold pieces, the Liberty Series. It's just it's remarkable what you can get into, and what's kind of fun and to talk to your family about.
And it's one of those things. Now, what you're talking about is you're coming from a perspective other than simply investing. You're picking up, this is a patriotic thing to some degree. That might be an overstatement, but maybe not. It's like having an American flag that flew over Fort Sumter, right, at the beginning of the Civil War. It has a certain special value that is beyond just the price of the cloth. You know,
well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's you know, that's kind of a heartthrob way to look at it. I don't think I'm exactly saying that, because I think that when you look at a bullion coin fluctuates in price based on what? The spot value almost entirely. Mm-hmm. What does a United States gold coin fluctuate on in terms of value? Well, spot is part of that, but also the premiums that are in there vary. And it's something where you have a coin that is maybe 100 years old. They don't make them anymore. Anything prior to 33 is you know, not being run off on in the mint anymore. They're historic, and there are people that really truly appreciate that, and they like the fact it's legal tender pre 33. All the arguments that go into having these as stores of value are there. I mean, I've been in this business since 1996, and I can't tell you the appreciation of American gold during that period of time. Bullion also, but American gold really nicely. So, no, I'm not limiting myself.
No, I understand that, but I think you express an appreciation for the coins that goes beyond just the sculpture, just the visual impression. I mean, you appreciate the history of the coins, and there is more to it than just an ounce of gold and a picture of an eagle or perhaps a Liberty head or something. Right? Now, other people like myself, I see an ounce of gold, and I appreciate the value that's associated, but I don't appreciate the history because it's just not. I haven't picked up on that yet, but I don't doubt that if you really become a collector rather than merely an investor, I don't doubt that you can find a great deal to learn,
to teach
your children.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point. I wasn't sure we'd even get there, but Melody, you might want to mention this, is that there are people who purchase gold bullion American gold coins. They may have Swiss francs in there. They may have a variety of things. I think it's very important what Al just said. Some people who may come into possession of those, either through inheritance or gift or whatever else, they need to know what those are. Because I think over the years, I've seen just as many people come in with bullion coins saying, hey, I don't know what these things are, but what are they worth? My uncle died. He gave these to me, and I just want to get rid of them. And it's
hard to
believe,
isn't it?
It's heartbreaking.
It happens.
I'll bet it does, but it's hard to believe. Somebody walks in, I don't know, what are these things? I never see, these are shiny. Are they worth anything if they're shiny?
Do you know
what's bad?
Do you know what more sad is when people just purchase their gold from a different dealer and they say, well, I made this order a year ago and I don't know what I bought. That's even more sad, and I hear that every day.
Just this last week.
David, we're heading to break. You can finish that thought right when we return.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, David Krieger, on Financial Survival. And the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. David, did you have a thought from the first or from the previous segment that you wanted to continue?
Well, Melody mentioned how sad it can be that somebody just goes out and buys things and really doesn't know what they bought. I have two real quick ones. This last week, we were dealing with a case of somebody who did exactly that, up in six figures. And you just kind of feel bad because what was given to that person, it causes you to shake your head and you say, oh, gee whiz, wish she would have talked to somebody like Melody. The other thing is I have lost several trades. Somebody has heard of me in the past, and this is before I went entirely wholesale, but they would call me up and they say, hey, I want to buy some gold, and And I'd start out and say, well, you know, what, you know, we'd start trying to ask what would be best. And they would want to listen to it. Essentially, what they wanted me to say was, send me $100,000 or $200,000 and I'll send you gold. It's all over the market. There are people out there who just, don't want to be informed and are surprisingly naive when they get into this. And it breaks your heart.
Well, what you're talking about in part are people who are looking for someone to lead them and tell them what to do. Yep. You're not just talking about, they're not looking for information. They're looking for a leader. Tell me what to do because I don't know and maybe I don't even want to know. Just make a decision for me and I'll send you a check.
And that's fine. If you're dealing with somebody like Melody, she can handle that. But if you're not dealing with the right person, I'd be very careful. So
I understand. You're opening a door. It's like if you're asking anyone, just do my thinking for me. If there's money involved, you are taking a big risk.
David, in the past, I've seen portfolios where folks they hear advertisements and they trust the host or whoever it might be, and I've seen $250,000 purchases, and when you figure it out, they have about $50,000 worth of product. And there's not a lot you can do. I do try to, perhaps, change things around to where they might have the opportunity in the future to reverse some of their losses. But, you're talking, and this was when gold was like at $800, $700. Yeah. And, gold has to go to $3,000 before they break even and on bullion coins and things. So horrible stories. And I get that when it comes to, but if they're going to be ruthless and they're going to cheat you on $20 gold pieces, they're going to overcharge on other product too.
Well, I think that's important. One of your going in statements here was that dealers want to make extra money by selling certified coins, and I think there's certainly cases of that, and I wouldn't deny that in the least. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there are cases where bullion coins are considerably overpriced too, and it depends on. It just goes back to the basics of the market. The buyer has to be informed and find a reliable dealer. Just recently up in Minnesota, they instituted a law that requires anybody selling coins up there to have great reporting requirements. And it's because out of Minnesota, historically, there have been a number of very ruthless dealers that loaded any number of things onto people. And it's not good. I think that related, even in an honest program, some of these big advertisers who are on TV all the time and have these really slick ads and are trying to encourage people to get that gold right now, those are expensive. And it isn't the company that's paying for that TV time; it's the customers. So you have to be careful. There's loss leaders in here. There's this last week I think Melody, I sent you a cartoon, and that cartoon I thought it was really funny. It's a really big, tough looking guy with a shaved head, and he's sitting on a bench, and he's got this this drawing in front of him of this wonderful winged horse leaping across the desert, and the tattoo artist is in there, and the tattoo artist is kind of finishing it up, and it looks like a little kid with a stick diagram painting a picture of a cow,
and it's with wings.
And I just got a really good laugh out of it because underneath it basically said, there's always someone who will tell you they'll sell it to you cheaper. Yeah. And that all fits together. It just requires, in my opinion, finding a good dealer and talking to that dealer and then sticking with them once you're in there.
If I were new to the idea of investing in gold, how long do you suppose is a reasonable amount of time for me to begin to study the market, study the coins and one thing and another, before before I take my first step? Or should I just, my first step maybe is a small step, a baby step. I step in and I buy some coins, and it puts me in touch with the market in a more real way. Do you see the difference that I'm trying to explore there, David?
Yeah, sure.
Which way do you think is best?
I were talking to you. I'm not a sales guy as such, so you know I may go about it differently. But I've certainly talked to a number of people in the past on that, and I think the first thing to do is just to basically say, well, what are we trying to accomplish? And mm-hmm. Some people, the majority of coins, well, not the majority, that's probably wrong, but many people have heard and are concerned about storing away various things in case of, economy problems or anything else. They want something that's immediately available in case of emergency. Well, to me, that would be, you have a couple questions to ask, and I think Melody would be fully qualified to make a recommendation as to something that would be modestly expensive. That would be a store of value, that would have a reasonable expectation of increasing in value. And, I know that would be a good recommendation. I think once that's in there and the person has made a purchase, actually seen what it is and have it in their hands, almost naturally they're going to become more interested and go on. So I think we're dealing with some very smart people. The problem is the very smart people sometimes leap a little too fast without, really they get overwhelmed by the fast-talking guy on the other end of the phone. And I think you got to be careful about that.
You know, David, that's one thing I always, when I ask the folks their objectives, I also ask them if it's going to be one purchase, two purchase, three purchase, because you can make a plan on how you purchase. You can make a plan based on what's available today and the best prices. And when you put together a plan for folks and they stay the course, they enhance their portfolios. They just don't go out and get the urge to go buy something. The next thing you know, they could open their own coin store. They're diversified, but they're diversified in things that probably don't make a whole lot of sense that relates to their initial objective and what they're trying to accomplish. So having a plan is very important, not only with your first buy, but your future buys.
Well, I mean, that's why financial planners are in business. They do the same thing. And if you're looking at precious metals as a reasonable thing to diversify your holdings into, which I think it is, and I think there's some very strong arguments about it, you're exactly right, Melody. You need a plan, and you're very good at that.
And one of the other points behind a plan is if you're going to deal with a crook, there isn't going to be a plan, because he's going to have to realize you'll figure out you've been robbed. If you can find someone who says, look, we're interested in not just this sale, but the second sale and the third sale, then you have evidence that someone is trying to treat you pretty good. If they're serious, if they really think there's going to be a second and third sale, they're going to treat you well in the first one. It becomes a signal that you may be dealing with someone's
ethic. I go to various coin conventions that are held throughout America, and some of them are pretty big. There's one here in Florida that happens twice a year, and they probably have 350, 400 dealers that come. So there's a lot of dealers around, and the majority of them are pretty good people. I like them a lot, but the ones that don't come are the ones that run the sweatshops in the back and the telemarketers that are on the phone. You got to buy this. This is special. You can't. And those are the guys you got to be careful about. If you haven't made the call to someone and you get a call from someone, I think you better be careful.
Yeah. Do you find more unethical behavior at some times in the market than you do at other times, or is it pretty much just a consistent, who knows, 5%, 10%, however many, whatever? Is there
a
consistent share of bad people, or is it?
I think it's relatively small, but unfortunately, the bad actors tend to be the most, the ones that have the 10 phone lines and are pounding the phones all day long.
And, I understand.
And I think that that's the problem. I think the vast majority of dealers are very fine. I think some are a lot better than others. I think some operate on higher spreads and premiums, much like, let's see, I don't think that's unique to the rare coin business. I'm trying to think offhand what might be a similar thing. I mean, you know, there's one restaurant.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, well, whatever, sure, you know, and it, almost any product. Yeah.
Used cars.
Yep.
It's part of human nature. So the point is, if you're dealing with financial instruments, you have to be careful. That's all. It's just common sense. A fool and their money will soon be parted.
I got a quick.
It's worse. I think some very smart people have lost money just because they decided to pull the trigger and not really check it out.
Yeah. We got a quick question in from Murray. He wants to know what your opinion is concerning the slab coins from collections like the Central America hoard, shipwreck coins.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in there. I think if you're a person that has a lot of disposable income and you think it's really neat to take a coin that's been recovered off the bottom of the ocean and you want that in your collection, I think that's fine. But I remember when they came out and they were selling for $24,000 a piece and, you know, to go to resell them a few years later, it was much less. It's very similar to going out and buying that brand new Corvette when it came out here, and it was wonderful. I couldn't keep them on a showroom floor. But, you know, 5 years later, there's depreciation and other things. So I don't really recommend those as to the average holder. I think that's kind of an acquired taste.
Yeah, I think some of these coins, some coins you buy for yourself, and that might be bullion coins. Some coins, maybe you're buying them for your children. That may be more into the collectible coins. Some coins you're buying for your grandchildren, and that would be something that perhaps came up off the ocean floor. Does that make any sense, David? That just crosses my mind, or is that probably not?
Yeah, I think I'd be very careful about buying anything that came off the ocean floor that has a real high premium on them. Okay.
You'll get payback a generation or two down the road. It isn't going to be an immediate.
I don't think so. That's my personal opinion, and you know, you'll have five other guys that tell you, "Oh no, these are really great things." I've just not been really pleased with them, and they're hard to sell right now.
You're buying the hype when they come out. You're actually buying the hype on them.
Yeah,
and
it
generates that high premium. I think there's a difference between being a collector and being owning one type of a coin. That's a specialty. It's a novelty. And there's nothing wrong with buying those types of coins if you want to learn the history. They're great for kids and things like that. But I certainly wouldn't want to buy that type of a coin to protect my purchasing power through a monetary crisis.
There you go. But I'm going to take a little bit of issue with you, Al, on what you're saying about, you know, reasons for buying different coins. I Melody's running a special on 63 Saints. 63 Saints are one of my favorites. You've heard me talk about that before. I think they're beautiful coins, and I think there's great stories on there. But not only do they fluctuate with the spot price of gold, they also, you know, the premiums go in different ways. Roughly today, if you were to take the ask price and put it over the divided by the melt price of that coin, you'd come up with a percentage. That percentage today in that coin is about one third of what it has been in the past, and so it's something like a person like Melody would be in tune with this and would say, hey, why don't you consider this? If you were 3 years ago buying it at the highest it's ever been in terms of that, maybe that wouldn't be the best value. The reason Melody is putting this on special, I think, is that she recognizes that it's a great time to buy 63 Saints.
It's also a great time to remind folks you can buy 63 Saints at 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest David Krieger. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, David Krieger, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.